everyone, and welcome to PSC. It's show 899, and I am here with Joe. And we were going to be here with Godfrey Lisk, but he had to bail out because of some clash or something. And that's right, he was being jetted off by his employer to New York, he said. So he wasn't able to join us, but we've also decided to record a day early because for both Joe and I, Monday is going to be stupid hot, and we thought if it's just the two of us, then we'll go on Sunday when it's a little bit cooler, which it is. It cooler there?
Yeah, it is cool. I'm still hot, though, but it is definitely going to be cooler than what it's going to be tomorrow. So I think we've made the right decision, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, 899, next Monday, the 29th of June, when it should be cooler, this stupid heat's gone away, it's show 900, and that's the one we earmarked to grab Steve, and he's going to join in with us. And so that'll be interesting. Next Monday, the 29th of June, 900. And then there's 100 to go.
Yeah.
100 to go, which if we do one every 2 weeks, should take 2 years, which means it'll be in the middle of 2028. But then we sneak shows in, so it'll probably be in 2027, won't it?
Yeah, I think we'll get there in 27. I think the way we've been going.
Yeah. So we'll oik Steve back on 1,000 on the 1,000 show anyway. We got Dan Carter coming up, who's just reviewed the Honor 600 Pro, which I stuck in the MeWe group for people to have a read, and he seemed to like that. So that's cool. We've got Zain Shahid coming along, and Jim Powell's coming for another roundup of what he's been up to and where his money's been thrown at Kickstarter. That'll be interesting. Always is with Jim. And then Godfrey's rebooked for September. So some interesting shows coming up. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle, don't forget. And if you get lost and you need to find anything, then head for tedsalmon.com or PodHubUK, and you'll find everything you need. First bit of contribution feedback from Scott Brady. Scott Brady lives in America, and he's been a Pixel user forever, and he's wanted to try the Xiaomi 17, and he's long spoken about the fact that in order to do this kind of thing in America, you've just got to import it personally. You cannot just go down to a shop and buy most of the devices outside of Apple, Google, Samsung, and up and coming Motorola. So he decided to import a Xiaomi 17, and these were his first thoughts. Now, this has been a couple of weeks ago, I think, he posted this, so I haven't seen him say anything since then, but we'll just have a quick look at what he said back then. I noticed how much lighter it feels than my Pixel 10 Pro, he says. Hyper OS is quite iOS-like, but since it has an Android functionality behind it, it's usable for me. It's on Android 16, May Security, and also May Play System. It would be nice if I could change the icons to round ones, but they want it to look like iOS, it seems, he says. I like the camera's processing. It usually keeps the right amount of contrast and shadows for my taste, but I find I don't reach for the editor much. Sometimes the colours are a bit saturated, but not overdone. I've been using the Leica Vibrant mode. I'd like to see the optical zoom a bit more than 2.6 times, but it's still pretty good when zooming in. The battery life is noticeably better than the Pixel. What a surprise. On my Pixel phones, I always turn 5G off because it drains the battery. I left 5G active on the Xiaomi 17, and it still has about 10 to 15% more battery left than the Pixel at the end of an average day. The Xiaomi also charges faster than my Pixel phones using an old Pixel charging brick, 30 watts-ish. I can't use the brick that came with the phone unless I get an adapter imported to the USA. I really have no need for 100-watt charging, and I'm not sure 110-volt power in the USA would provide it anyway. The screen is nice and gets bright enough in direct sunlight, as nice as the Pixel. The Xiaomi feels faster in some respects, but about the same most of the time. I think the animation bogs parts of the UI down a bit, similar to how I feel when I'm using iOS. I always set the animation speeds to 0.5 times, but some of the UI doesn't seem to respond to that. While I like Google's UI better, I don't think HyperOS alone would send me back to using a Pixel. I noticed a pretty big difference when updating apps from the Play Store. It's much faster on the Xiaomi. The speakers get louder on the Xiaomi, but I think the Pixel speakers sound a bit better. I rarely listen to music on phones anyway, but for podcasts, louder is probably better. It was fast and easy to transfer the eSIM. That was a pleasant surprise. I was expecting to contact T-Mobile on X, then wait for an hour for the messaging conversation to happen, and then be generally frustrated, and I'm glad that didn't happen, he says. The biggest downside so far is that my Garmin watch gets disconnected a few times throughout the day. I rely on my watch for notifications. My phone is always on silent, so that could be a problem. So as I say, that was a week or even two ago, and I've no doubt he'll have more observations as time's gone on. But that was what he was saying then, and it's glad that someone in America has got the chance to actually have a look at least at one of these devices. Any
sounds
thoughts?
Sounds like he's pleasantly surprised of how good it is compared to the Pixel, which is good. And HyperOS is the one part that I thought maybe you'd hate. And doesn't sound like he hates it. Looks like he can stomach it and plow through with it. So, very promising start. Because the Xiaomi 17 isn't their top of the range either, is it? It's still worth over £800, so it's not a cheap phone.
But it's small, though. It's small, 6.3 inches, yeah.
Hence him going for it, because he clearly likes smaller phones with the 10 Pro. The saturation is going to be more on the Leica Vibrant mode. That's kind of a given. I think if he chose there's a Leica Authentic or something like that. I can't remember what the modes are now. There should be one that's a little bit less saturated. But he says he doesn't mind that, it being a little bit overdone. It's a pretty good, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised the speakers aren't better, but it might be because it's a smaller device. Maybe if you had a Xiaomi phone that was not 6.3, but the kind of normal 6.8, the speakers would be a better experience. I was quite surprised at that.
Yeah, I think from all accounts, though, the Pixel speakers are very good. So it is a high bar, to be fair. I hope he gets that Garmin watch thing sorted out, though, because that might be ruin his experience, because by the sounds of it, that is quite important to him. So people get looking online for fixes for that.
Notifications on watches is a bit of a thing. I've been playing about with that this week with various devices and seeing which ones give you the whole message and which ones don't, and which ones make you go to the phone to get the part of the message, and it's been an interesting experiment really to go through that. But anyway, good for you, Scott, and hope it's working out for you still. And you've always got the Pixel on one side if you need it. Now, bit of news. The Commodore Callback 8020, somewhere between a dumb and a smartphone.
I've not seen the Commodore name for a while.
No, that's right, yeah. This seems to be a little flip phone with a T9 keyboard on it. So in order to enter any text into it, you've got to go back 20 years and start learning how to do T9 again. It's been purposely made that way, basically. They're trying to keep stuff away from it. It's running Yola Sailfish OS, which is, I was really surprised to see that. But yes, you can, you see, the phone comes with nothing working on it, basically. You make phone calls and text messages, and that's your lot. But because it's got Sailfish on it, You can actually put a Android compatibility layer over the top of it, because that's how Selfish works, and thereby install stuff via Play Store, not the Play Store, but Android stores, and you can then get stuff onto it if you want to. But if you don't want to, then you don't have to. It's a really dumbed down specification, but they're still going to be charging about 500 quid for it, which is just amazing. it's basically a nothing phone, really. I suppose they're going to be having to license Selfish to put on there, but yeah, what do you reckon? Do you fancy one of these?
Well, not for myself. I was going to say there's a market for this phone until you said the price point. And I thought, nope, that's taken them out of the market. Because, like I've mentioned before, the Doro dumb phones that we sell are very popular. And there's a lot to like about this. It's got the dome LED notification at the front, which looks good. USB-C charging. You can put an SD card in there. A 48 megapixel camera. I think that's a bit overkill for this type of phone, but but that price point's just that's silly. Very silly.
It's also got a screen on the outside as well as the inside, which some traditional flip phones didn't have, so I'm guessing that would just be a notification and clock center.
That's become quite standard, because that Doro that we sell, right, Ted, is 89 quid.
Wow, that's a much better price, isn't it? Does that run Android on it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's I don't know if it's that Doro's own software.
Right,
I'd have to look that up, Ted.
Because Doro did start making some Android-based phones, but I don't think they were the flip phones. I think they were candy bar ones, and they started to make them a bit more specified than they were a few years ago. But I'm not sure about that flip one. Yes, you'd have to check that. The Helio G81 chipset obviously is dumbed down. The 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage inside. But as you say, it has got a card expansion. It's got Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, and LTE support. So it's 4G only, not 5G. What else?
It's got a little antenna, Ted. A little stump antenna.
That's really taking you back, isn't it? Blimey.
Yeah.
So anyway, 500 quid. I can't see that they're going to sell many of these. They might sell some to Commodore enthusiasts, I suppose, from when Commodore was a thing. But I don't know.
I guess that someone who wants a totally de-Googled phone, but even then, you're going to get better options, I think, out there. I just think it's well overpriced.
I'd be really interested to see what they've done with Selfish, though.
Yeah.
That'd be the only thing. Yeah. But, yeah, okay. Right, next story up is that the stable Android 17 has arrived for Pixels, and it's as boring as you could imagine. Most of it is really not feature-based. It's more to do with... I've been running Android 17 QPR beta anyway, so all of these things that are little changes to the UI and things like bubbling and screen record stuff, I've been using those for months anyway. But, yeah, okay, I have now got one Pixel phone that's not on the QPR beta, and I did put this onto it, and it feels like it's refreshed and up to date, and it's very snappy across the UI, and a lot of the Material 3 Material 3, I'll tell you what, we'll call it M3E. Are actually tidied up, and they look neater, and the lots of bouncy kind of effects and the bit of a blurred background thing going on here and there. Change is coming. There's also an update to the Wear OS 7. And again, I've put this onto my Pixel Watch 3, and there's not a huge amount of difference. There's a couple of things that don't yet work on it, like, for example, routing the audio. So remote media routing, that is not working on my one. So I'm guessing that's a server-side switch that they have to throw to make it happen. That means that you get quick access to changing where you're sending your audio out to, rather than having to go back to the phone, and it's a bit of a kludge. But apart from that, again, it's M3E kind of tweaks all over the place, and tidying up of menus, and nice new toggles, and a lick of paint here and there. Some sliders look different. It's very, very kind of cosmetic in many ways. Certainly worth a look. I'll put a link to both of those, the Android 17 for Pixels and the Wear OS 7 in the show notes. So if you're interested,
Ted, you can have a look. Do you think most of the OS updates nowadays are mostly cosmetic, aren't they? There's not a great deal they can do, is there?
Go on, sorry.
No, I was just thinking, it just always does seem mostly cosmetic and fixes and maybe quicker routes to take certain actions. But generally, it's not groundbreaking these days, is it? One thing was quite good to hear is Honor have opened up Android 17 for beta testing with developers for once. I think it's the first time they've done it with their OS before. Because they've not done it in the past, I'm sure. It's quite interesting. Hopefully that will make things more stable and better for Honor users when 17 rolls out. But yeah, I don't
presumably know. Presumably that's just on one or two devices, is it? Not right across everything.
I would have thought so. I should have looked for the article I saw and put it into the notes, really, shouldn't I? Yeah, bad podcaster.
I think you're right to some degree, and this might be a topic we'll end up talking to Steve about next week. The plateau of Android and iOS and everything, really, where updates just are not rich and beefy and huge changes, because actually the I can't speak for iOS particularly, but certainly Android using a Pixel, it feels very polished and finished, and it feels like that's the job, you know. And so, as you say, what else is there to do apart from tweaking and playing about with the size of search bars or whatever?
And on that note, us tech nerds want to see all new stuff, but the vast majority of people don't want to see too much change. I mean, I've mentioned how the regular users are scared of updates because they're worried that it's going to be a lot of change. They don't want too much change.
Exactly, Right, okay. How about a trifold? Huawei apparently have applied for a patent, which means it may well not be made. They're talking about a vertical trifold. So if you can imagine the Razer Flip, or the Razer, the Razer Ultra or whatever in your hand, and it's quite small. It's half the size of your phone. Well, when you fold this thing up into three, it's going to be a third of the size of your phone. So I get the idea. I get what they're doing, but it's also going to be much fatter because it's folded into three. And isn't the outside screen a third of the size going to be not very useful? We used to have a screen on the front of the Razer Fold Flip. The Motorola Razer 4, for example, the fourth generation, that had a small screen on it, and everyone was just complaining about it because the screen was too small. Now they're suggesting that we go back to moving away from a half size screen to a third size screen. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but what height is that, though? Because it looks like it's going to be on a very long phone, longer than a Razer Open. So maybe that out screen might be usable.
Oh, right, okay.
You know what I
So
mean?
if
It looks like
it's.
it could be like your hand would go in the middle there, and you'd have screen underneath and above. But then that'd be quite an odd size, wouldn't it?
Well, blimey, the razor's tall enough as it is when you
That's what I
open it
mean,
up.
yeah. So it's going to be,
Good
if
grief.
it is what I'm thinking it is, taller than that, it's strange. I
There's
don't.
no de there's no details anyway, so
No.
we're not really going to know, are we? Oh, there are some measurements on the patent drawing.
Yeah, I was trying to work that
150,
out.
150, what does that mean? 150 millimeters? No. Anyway, it looks like because it folds into three, the outside screen is going to have to fold, which
Yeah.
brings its own problems, obviously, because of safety and not safety, but it breaking.
Yeah, I mean, they've done this with their trifold already, haven't they, Huawei? Because they did it before Samsung did.
Yeah, they went the other way with it, didn't they?
But even with that, we
No,
said the
no,
same thing.
no. I think it was Samsung that went the other way, wasn't it? I think it was Samsung that folded outwards, and Huawei folded inwards, didn't it?
No, I didn't, did it? I thought it was folded outwards quite.
So the Samsung all folds inwards, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah, it
right.
folds in on it kind of
Okay.
folds in and then not on top of itself, doesn't it?
Right, okay. Good job you're here, really.
I don't know. I'm now questioning myself.
No, you're probably right. Let's move on to honor. Put you onto your safe ground. We've got two honor stories here that you can run away with. What do you reckon?
This next one I'm quite intrigued by because I like the Honor Pen that I use for the V5, and the Honor Magic 9 series is tipped to support an AI powered stylus.
Tipped.
Pipped, yeah, tipped,
Tipped.
tipped to
Yeah,
yeah. Do
there's
they
a
think they've done
joke
it on
in there.
purpose there?
Never mind, yes.
The tip of a pen here, but it doesn't like. Well, they haven't shown a picture where it's siloed in there, so it looks like it'll be a separate jobby. But yeah, I mean, it's adding more pens to support for more devices. I'm all for that, even if it is carried separately. So let's see what happens with that.
I wonder what
Next,
AI powered means.
yeah,
AI powered.
I guess it would help do some of the AI features. Because I quite like some of the gestures with the Samsung Pen, actually. Maybe they're going to add more gestures to it and stuff like that as well. This next one as well, I'm quite intrigued by. Although I like dumb watches, the Watch 6 is coming out in the UK, which can last up to 35 days, which we both know that probably means 14, 10 days maybe with everyone. But it has got a massive 980 milliamp hour battery, though. That is quite big for a watch, isn't it? I wonder if it'll be chunky, though, as a result.
Yeah, the five. This article says that the five has got 480 milliamp hours. So this is basically double that. Yeah,
Yeah, that's the. Is it the 5 Ultra they're referring to, isn't it?
the five Ultra. Yeah, that's right.
Because I was interested in that, but it never came out in the UK. Whereas this one is, it's up, I think you can get updates now if you go on their website. It comes in two colours, a silver with a brown strap, or a black, all black one, which is more your liking,
Yay.
isn't it? Yeah. It's got a recycled aluminium alloy body with 316L stainless steel elements. I don't know how that. Do you know what? I was meant to go to a briefing for this, Ted, and I totally forgot about it. So I'm really gutted I missed it because I would have known exactly what this means. It weighs 41 grams. It measures 10.8 millimeters thick. Yeah, it's quite impressive. It's 11 grams heavier than the Ultra was. So actually, it's not heavier despite it being a bigger battery. That's quite impressive. Yeah, and it looks like a lovely watch, doesn't it? There's even a football mode, I noticed. A professional football mode. So
Wow.
it obviously covers a lot of sports and stuff. And it's got 3,000 nits on the screen, which is very bright for a watch. Might work quite well as a little torch, mightn't it? It's got IP69 rating, as you expect. It looks like all round like a very good watch. I'd love to test out that 35-day claim, though.
Yeah.
Because I amazing,
amazing price as well.
Mm. What price are they saying? Did I miss that?
230 quid. It's down the bottom of this article.
Oh, yes, there it is, yeah.
230 quid, all of that.
And they always have an early bird. It'll be, you see that, 150 quid if, with the early bird discount, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mind you, this is not a Wear OS watch. This is a Magic OS watch, so don't expect it to run, you know, Google software.
Yeah, maybe, but if they're launching it in the UK, I don't know, because I've had my eye on the Huawei watches. This could be an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's watch this space.
It's definitely not Wear OS. So,
no.
But that's okay. If Magic OS works well, then there's no problems there.
That's one thing it does support as well is NFC, so payments with MasterCard and Visa. So that's good, because that's
cool.
One thing my Moto watch actually lacks,
right,
which I would like on there, because it is quite handy, being James Bond in the pub and Greg's.
Yes. Talking of pubs.
Yes.
You went to a pub meet today. No, not today, yesterday.
Yesterday, yes. I finally went to one.
Jeremy Harpham and you. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, there's a little plug-in. Should we do that first and talk about it afterwards? Or
yeah, okay. So all the people there recorded a little bit of audio, said a few words and said who they were and all the rest of it. So let someone listen to that first. You're quite right. Here we go.
Hello, I've made it to the pub meet with three young gentlemen here. Yeah, I said young. And we've got loads of devices with us. We've had a really good discussion. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Hello, folks. It's Jeremy here. Nice to see Joe at one of these events. And pass on.
Hi there, Mike Robbins here. Great to be here. Great to be drinking beer.
And it's Malcolm Bryant. Great to be here. Big thanks to Jeremy for organising. And it's great to talk tech with fellow nerds, fellow geeks.
So let's go around the table. What device have you enjoyed most today, Jeremy?
For me, it was seeing the other folding devices, particularly Joe's, if I remember correctly, the Moto Fold, the FIFA edition.
The Razer, yes.
Razer, thank you.
So I've loved seeing the Moto Fold because I wanted to compare it to my Honor Magic V2 and decide that I have got the right phone after all. But I've also loved seeing some classic devices like the Planet Gemini. I'm just so in awesome of the hardware and so sad about the software. Great to see you.
And Malcolm here. I've really enjoyed having a good play with the folding devices, three different folding devices. It's something that I've kind of lusted after, and it's making me hover over the buy button to spend some money on getting one of these wonderful devices.
And for me, Jeremy bought his X9 Pro from Biopo, and with a teleconverter, so I've had a nice play with that. It's been fantastic. Although I'd like a bit more time with it if I can.
I'm sure we can make that happen. I also really enjoyed seeing Malcolm's FX Pro, because I think had that been, I wish that device was up to date and bought out sooner, because I think that would really work as a day-to-day. I'd like a slightly better keyboard, but hopefully we'll see what the Clicks Communicator brings in future. Not that any of us have got one of those already.
But you'll have one.
No, I've got a Clicks keyboard coming.
I think Clicks keyboard. I think Jim's Fowl's got one coming.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes,
so
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the review then, Jim.
Yeah. No pressure, Jim. So we'll call it a day on that chat for now. Big shout out to Ted. I hope you're staying cool in your tin can.
Yeah, Ted, keep cool.
Yeah. Don't sweat it out too much. Hope your AC is working fine.
Yeah, we miss you, Ted.
And hopefully we'll get a few more people at the next PSC pub meet. Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
So, Jeremy Harpham, Malcolm Bryant. you and who's the fourth person?
Mike Robbins.
Yeah. So four people, and it was great to hear from everyone. And it sounded from the the time that you left there as if it was actually a really long day, was it?
Well, so Malcolm and Mike left a bit earlier than me and Jeremy. So we stayed and had some food and a couple more beers for a little bit longer. But yeah, it was good. It was really nice. See, I had quite a long journey because there was a horrific crash in Bedford, train crash. So my line wasn't working, so I had to get a replacement bus service to Hitching, a train from Hitching. And then when I got to St Pancras, the Piccadilly line was bloody down. I was like, oh my God, everything is against me. So I had to trek around on the tubes. But eventually I got there and I walked into the pub. I walked past their table at first, through the middle of the pub. And then when I did a U-turn, I see loads of phones on the table. I was like, yeah, there they are. It was quite obvious who the PSC guys were. But yeah, it was nice to have a little chat about different devices. I saw, Planet, what's it called? The Gemini Planet
device. The Planet's computer, Gemini. Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful piece of hardware, isn't it? It really is. It is such a shame.
It is.
Yeah, because I was quite impressed with that. We even had an old Scion computer, a little handheld thing. That was actually quite nice in the hand. You could see it was designed. I loved it. Actually said made in the UK on the back. You rarely get that these days, don't you? but yeah, that was nicely built and felt nice in the hand as well. It was nice to see some older tech like that. The guys seemed to like my Fold, Moto Razor Fold. That went down quite well. And I got to play with Jeremy's X9 Pro because that's the first time I've had hands-on with that, with the teleconverter. I wish I'd get more hands-on with that, as I mentioned in the audio there. But it was lovely. It's nice to see people's faces to the names. I've not been in the community as long as some of the others, but it has been sort of near COVID time that I joined. I've been talking to these people on and off for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see the faces. If funny enough, Jeremy found PSC similar time to me. It ended up, he was around COVID time that he found PSC.
Right.
I just assumed I was the one of the new newbies.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other guys have been around for a long time. Mike and Malcolm, they go back the same kind of time as me. In fact, Malcolm probably told you he was a developer back in the day, and he still is, but yeah. He was developing for Scion, and he was very much involved in our Kix community, for those that remember that. It was great that Malcolm turned up, and Mike. So did Jeremy think it was worth doing for four people? Is he going to try again?
I think so, especially as I stayed with him a bit longer and we had some, he had pizza and I had, I had a Korean chicken bowl, and I still felt hungry. So I got 10 wings after that as well. so I stayed with him for a fair chunk after that. So it made it worthwhile as well. I think it was good. It doesn't need a massive crowd. I think four PSC members is a nice bunch still.
Yeah. I remember going to a pub meet with Steve in Horsham yonks ago, and the place was full. There must have been about kind of 20 plus people. And you're right, it gets to a point where it's a bit unwieldy, and just having a few people that can actually have a normal chat around a pub table is probably a bit better. Yeah.
And do you know what's good about Weatherspoons? They've got an app that you can order on, haven't they? So it didn't disrupt our conversation, someone having to leave to go to the bar. The only time someone did leave was to pop to the loo. Generally was all there talking away. So that was nice. So that's a nice thing, isn't it? To be able to do that, have an app to order on. There's other apps that I use during the day. Of course, Maps and TripAdvisor. It's called I use Trainline, and there's another one I use. I think it's trip.com. And it's just things you take for granted, but when there's disruptions, they're so handy, actually, being able to do that in your pocket. Yeah. It just like came to mind like that day. I was like, oh, thank God for my phone.
Did you, by the time you went home, had all the disruption gone away?
No, the line was still closed, so I had to get the same replacement bus from Hitchin back to Luton, and then I got an Uber from there. Again, another app that I could quickly... I flashed the app open, ordered my Uber. There was already a car sitting in front of me, and he clearly had taken the job, so I was straight in. It was quite good, no waiting at all. So I got home in good time, actually. I think I was home just after 11, so not too bad.
Brilliant. Very good. Well done. And well done, Jeremy, for plugging away at that for so long and motivating a few people to make it happen. I'm not sure if anything's really come of anything outside of London. I know he was trying with that, but I just don't think there's going to be numbers of people to do it. But I'm not up with the latest information, so maybe he will
know. I can update a little bit there. So he said there's two in Manchester, so that could be a destination, Manchester, at some point. Yeah. He also talked about the potential to do a weekend or something like that. I don't know. Might be optimistic, but he's going to put the feelers out there and see who would be interested.
A murder mystery.
Yes. He seems quite keen to carry on organising bits and bobs like this. So we're probably going to look at doing a November type one next, because I think the summer's a bit hot, maybe. I don't know. I think it put people off yesterday. I'm not sure.
I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised because a couple of other people did say that they were going to try and get there and obviously didn't.
Disruptions on tubes and trains and stuff, perhaps.
Once you start looking into things, there's always barriers and obstacles, isn't there?
I must admit, if I hadn't called in sick on the first one, I might have considered not bothering the journey, because it was about two and a bit hours. But I thought, you know what, I'm not going to miss this one. Not after missing the other one. I couldn't let them down again.
No. Well done. Well done to you all. So Jeremy's got himself a job there. Chief coordinator of the PSC pub meets. Right. Okay then. So what phone have you got? You still use your main sim in the Razer Fold, is it?
That's right, yeah. I love a foldable, so I do like my main to be in a foldable. I probably should switch it out though, because I own this phone, don't I? So I should probably switch it to one of the ones that I'm testing, because I've got the 600 Pro from Honor still.
Oh yeah.
And that will need to go back, so I probably should make that my main phone this week. I think I will do that, actually. I do want to do some content on the Razer Fold while it's still hot property. Mm-hmm. I'm conflicted here. This is where I procrastinate too much.
The 600 Pro does look interesting.
It certainly is, yeah.
Just annoying that it looks like an iPhone.
I think the chaps seem to quite like that as well, the 600 Pro. Because, I think Jeremy was saying he was worried about the software. And when he had a quick play, he said it doesn't seem that bad. He was comparing the screen to his X9 Pro, which is quite a premium device. And he said it looks good next to it. So that's quite good, because it is 899 officially. So it's not a cheap device.
It is on 699 still. I just clicked through to the Honor website.
Official retail price is 899, but you can get, and you still get the projector with it, don't you? I think
early bird gifts worth 449 quid. You can choose, you can choose one, can't you? Yeah, you can either have the projector or the tablet, the Pad X9A. The Projector Air Pro, I think you spoke about that before. It does look quite nifty, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially with the World Cup on at the moment. I want to get one, get one in before the World Cup ends.
Better hurry up, man, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to give them a shout. If they want me to make content, that's the perfect, getting a few friends round and me recording us watching the World Cup on it. That would be great content and advertising for it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Presuming it is
and
good.
You've still got the Magic 8 Pro as well.
Yeah, so I've got that for the year. That's through my Honor Hero role at work. So I could make some more content on that. I did do a review of that because I got it early hands-on with that, which was nice for my first time ever. And that came out around Christmas, January time, didn't it? I released that. Still in love with that phone. Excellent phone. You can't go wrong. Really good camera, battery life, screen's wonderful. And something I kept banging on about yesterday to the guys is the fact that you've got the 3D face unlock for your banking and it works in the dark. It's just such a nice life feature. And the Apple users will say the same with that. It is a fantastic feature.
Yeah,
but you've got the optical fingerprint scanner as well.
Yep. So optical? Really
no, not is optical.
Ultrasonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good, and they are better. I know that the opticals are very good these days, but they are better. You had to send your V5 back, and you're waiting for a V6. Is that right?
Get a little violin out now. I'm quite sad about that, as you know. One of my favourite phones. But I'm hoping to get V6 in. Yeah, they did say that I'm going to get one, but it wasn't a quick swap around. So. I'll find out next week, hopefully. But to be honest,
you had the V5 for a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much almost a year, which is why I thought I'd maybe got away with it. But yeah, sadly not. So hopefully I get the V6 soon and I'll have that for a year. If I do, that'd be great. Yeah. Although there's not a great deal of difference. The main difference for me from what I've looked at is slightly bumped up battery and a better IP rating. I've had a quick hands-on. It's a little bit more squared off, which is a bit different. But yeah, no major differences. Maybe it's a little bit more robust. I'm sure they've probably done some work behind the scenes there. But in the hands and general use, you won't notice that too much.
No.
Mostly the battery life, I guess, and the IP rating.
Tell me, why have you got a Nokia 3210 2024 release?
Oh, did you not? Is that the first time you noticed that? I did a little video on that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, ages ago.
Oh, right.
It's just a bit of nostalgia, really. I got that on the TikTok shop, right, Ted? And when you first sign up on there, they give you a voucher as well. So I think I got it for something like 19 quid.
Right.
It was a no-brainer. And do you know what? It is really fun playing Snake on there. I nearly brought that to the pub meet because it's a newer version. But yeah, you have to check out the little video I did on.
Yeah,
on YouTube,
I must have missed that. Must have missed that video in your run in your video stock. I'll have a look out for
it. It's a short, that's why. You prefer your long form.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But that's probably why. Yeah, quite right. But yeah, that sounds quite fun. Have you sent the Edge 70 back yet?
No. I don't know what's going on at the moment. They've gone AWOL. So do you know what? I wait till they contact me. Because I really should do something with that as well. I think, to be honest, it only warrants a short because I haven't used it enough to give a really broad opinion. I can give an opinion. I think it's got really good battery life for its size. I love the size of it. The camera's good processing, nice main one, but I miss not having the telephoto there. If you're into a smaller, thinner device, it's a really great choice, as long as you can get a deal on it. As we've mentioned, we think the regular retail price is a bit inflated, but I think they do that anyway, don't they, to put deals on and sell it at the price they're happy to sell it at.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that and that's that. You never mentioned the fact that you've got Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. You must never turn it on.
No, that's my work, Frank. You know what? Because that's my work and not play. So I use it every day, that one. It's a fantastic device. I do love the Samsung Ultra phones. You can't really go wrong with them, can you? And actually, as a work phone, it's very, very good. The only thing that annoys me is they don't let me copy and paste at work. So from one app to another, I can't copy and paste. It's so frustrating. I've figured a way to do it for some apps, but not all. It doesn't let me screenshot. It doesn't let me use Gemini. It doesn't let me do anything like that.
Right.
It's really frustrating. So if I want to...
So they've locked it right down. O2 have done that, have they?
I think it's... Yeah, yeah. I think it's quite a common thing in the workplace is to make it secure like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is just so frustrating. So say I want to send an image of something, I'll take a picture of a different phone of the screen. An old school screenshot.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's a good phone. It's good battery life, which is required because I let my guys use it to ring retail help desk. So I'll probably do at least 4 or 5 phone calls in a day, potentially, which phones rarely do these days, which is quite funny.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there you go then. So talking of Samsung, I have been playing with the Watch Ultra this week.
Ooh, nice.
And decided that the killer feature on the Watch Ultra is the speaker. Because, you know, I know that probably not many people are going to value that feature apart from the likes of me. But having a speaker on your watch, on your wrist, is really, if it's good, and it is good, it's, of course, it's not going to be anything like an average phone speaker, certainly not a good one, but it's really good enough, and it's much better than any other watch speaker I've ever heard. And you can get the software on the phone to, if you want to, auto sync various bits of content with the 32 gigabytes of storage. And I reckon that you can get maybe up to 2,000 songs on it if you want to, and you can actually adjust that if you want to. If you want to have specific playlists or specific albums or whatever you want to do, you don't have to just auto sync it and have it rotating. The default is every 6 hours, and it defaults to doing that every 6 hours. And particularly during the night, it's going to do an update, isn't it? And it's just, you know, I'm really not a Samsung fan, as you know.
No,
But when I start picking the watch up and doing that with it, I think, yeah, this system is really cool. But that's just me, and everyone else won't be so blown away, as I say.
So I think the speaker being good is quite appealing, Ted. I think you're onto something there, because actually, I know you haven't done it, but when I've had a watch on at work and one of my guys call me from when I'm in the office from upstairs, rather than getting the phone out of the pocket, I've taken the call on the watch.
Yeah, I have done that.
And the Samsung Watch's speaker and microphone as well to match with it is pretty decent to make a quick call, obviously in a quieter environment. So that's a nice feature as well for that speaker.
Yeah, definitely. So there are definitely pros to doing that whole thing. So anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes to my blog post, which is the killer feature, and it does relate to that particular watch, which I've had on the go this week. The other thing that's returned from its travels is my two Nextpaper devices. So TCL 50 Pro Nextpaper and the TCL Nextpaper 60 Ultra. And I'll put a link in the show notes again to Gareth Williams' review of the latter. And because he wrote that, and I put it on my blog, so that's there. Yep, cool. But it also, after Gareth Williams had it, it went off to Steve Nutt, who wanted to do some accessibility assessment on it, and he I asked him for a paragraph to read out on the show, so he sent that across. He says, everything worked normally except for the launcher, which can easily be changed for a Nova or some other launcher that works. Basically, talkback actions don't work on their launcher, on the TCL's launcher. Actions are where you can flick up and down with one finger to different options like move item, remove, uninstall, etc., and then double tap the requisite option. So to move items about on the screen, you have to long press them and then you can move them. This worked, but I recommend anyone having one of these phones to change the launcher to one such as Nova Launcher, which does have these talkback actions built in. So Steve said, basically, that's the summary. And he, in general, his apps worked, and he would happily refer the device to any of his customers without sight who would need it. It would kind of, it would be in the pot of options for anyone that fancies having a NextPaper device. So thanks very much for that, Steve, and I'm glad that you found some usefulness in it for you and your business.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. You have to change the launcher, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's how it is, though. So we were talking again about MeWe, and I got Steve to send me a paragraph to send to MeWe as well to complain about the fact that accessibility is so crap in MeWe. So he sent me a paragraph and I sent it in, and of course MeWe don't respond now. When MeWe first started, I had as a group owner, I had a named person who I could email with bug reports and stuff, and she would email me back directly, and it was a named person, and I never get that anymore. It's all completely automated. You don't get a response from anyone unless you tick the box that says send me an email to acknowledge that this has arrived, in which case you get a robot sending you that out, but it's a bit of a shame. Anyway, I did send it in, and maybe over time the MeWe bods will start to think about those accessibility issues. I did notice when I got the NextPaper 60 Ultra back, one of the things that I complained about when I first had it was that the pen was just not working very well. So when you write on the screen, because there's magnets in it, and there's magnets on the back, there's also magnets in the cases. I got a bit more joy with it when I took the case off and it didn't have those magnets from the cases. But essentially, the pen stopped writing when you got to the edges. The active bit of the screen was just kind of a rectangle in the middle. Well, when I don't know whether this is anything to do with the update that came in, which it did, the March security update came in, or whether the fact that Gareth has reset it and I've reset it and Steve has reset it, and it's just had a big kind of round of resetting. But the pen is actually working remarkably well. and it's going out to the edges like it should. So I don't know what's changed, but something's changed, and that pen actually works really well now. So that's good. If someone wants to use it as a notepad stroke phone stroke black and white thing, I did notice that the price has gone up on those as well. So
the pen works now.
Yeah, probably. The bundle that I bought for £424 in a Prime Day sale last year sometime is now £535. But it was at one point up to £600. It was £599. So the price of it kind of does jump about a bit, but they're obviously seeing that as their kind of premium device, more so even than the new 70 Pro, I think.
It's funny you mentioned Prime Day sale there, Ted. It's tomorrow, isn't it?
Oh, does it start tomorrow?
I'm sure it's tomorrow, 22nd.
22nd, right,
what you'd be telling me, you're the Amazon guy.
Yeah, I thought it was 23rd to the 26th, but I could be wrong. Which would make it Tuesday to Friday. When I went to Amazon,
make more sense.
When I went to Amazon earlier, it flashed it up. Here we go. 2 days until Prime Day.
It's still 2 days away.
So it's 23rd. Yeah, here it is. 23rd to the 26th.
I've got excited then too early. Yeah, 21st, 26th. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, look out for it if you're looking. If you're interested, you might get another Prime deal with someone.
somebody might, well, if they fancy the whole next paper thing, which is really interesting, I have to say. It's a great big phone, though. It's a huge device, 7.2 inches, so be prepared for that. The other thing that's come in this week is the Pebble Time 2, which I briefly spoke about on the last show, I think, but Jim Fowle sent it over, and then I fell in love with it, and I said to him, can I buy it off you? And he said, yeah, of course you can. He said, actually, he told me that he wasn't really that interested in it. He'd had a look at it, and he concluded that he probably wasn't going to use it. So he offered me a really good mate's price on it, and I snappled it off him, and I've got that here now, which is really good. I won't go into great detail about it because I did that on Tech Addicts. And so if you want to have the rundown on that, last week's Tech Addicts podcast has that. And I'll also put a link to the show notes here to my blog for my review.
You recorded today as well, didn't you?
That was this week's, but yes, we did record Tech Addicts today. But the Pebble Time thingy was on last week's show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give that a listen. So,
yeah, it's a really nice watch. It's got an awful lot going for it, but it is quite small. And lastly, no, not lastly, the Pen Ultra, I did a bit of a review on as well, which I didn't cover before, even though it's been out there for a while. My conclusion that I'm coming to with the Moto Pen Ultra is, I don't know what you think about this, but on the aforementioned Tech Addicts podcast this morning, that topic came up. And I was saying that I really don't think that I'm likely to use a pen on a candy bar phone. If it is a opened up big phone or a tablet, for example, and I do talk about on the show about my Samsung Galaxy tablet, then I think I am. But I just don't. The phone screen, a normal phone screen, candy bar phone screen, is just kind of too narrow to be able to do any meaningful scribing on. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just browsing your shared photos album here, and I must admit, yep, a lot of it does look quite cramped on the singular slab phone. On the Razer Fold, however, that it works really nicely because you've got that bigger canvas, as you say. Because if I'm ever going to use it, it probably would be in the inner screen.
Yes.
I mean, it does look good what you can do, though. I haven't deep dived as much as you with the pen yet. I did bring the pen with me yesterday, actually. I wasn't even sure it had charge. It did have charge, which shows a good standby on it because I've not used it for quite some time. But yeah, if anyone's interested in the pen, definitely check out Ted's shared photo album here. It's very, very in-depth.
And check out the review.
Yeah, and the review to go alongside.
Yeah, that's right. So I did quite a lot of kind of tinkering with that, and I do conclude, I'm afraid, that the main reason that I don't use it, apart from what I just said, is because there's no silo, and we always come back to this, I know, but if the pen, like your S24 Ultra, if the pen's inside the thing, you're much more likely to have it and use it. I've still got the Motorola G Stylus here, 2024 version, and that's got the pen inside it. It's a bit of a dumb pen, but it's inside it, so it'll be with it. And I think that Motorola have missed the boat on the Signature and on the Razer. They need to find some way of getting the pen inside it. So we'll see.
Oh, on that note, Ted, just quickly, this is going off on a tangent slightly. I saw a render of the a Samsung Fold phone called Ultra, and it had a siloed pen. Yeah. I can't remember I saw that now. Might was bring it that to another show.
A patent?
No, it was like a render.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a leak, sort of. Let me see if I can find it.
Wasn't there a tablet, was it? That rugged tablet. That's got a stylus in the edge, I think. No?
Was it?
Okay.
It was a S8 Ultra Fold that I saw.
S8 Ultra Fold. Okay. All right. Well, while you're looking for that, I'll just mop up these other couple of bits.
Yes, do that.
The Razer 60 Ultra, I've grown to love a bit again. It feels a bit like a toy, but it's a really well-made toy, and it acts like a flagship phone. It's really well specified. So I'm, a lot of the time when I'm in Motorola mode, I'm thinking which to use, the Signature, which is all singing, all dancing, or the Razer 60 Ultra, and I can never decide. The truth is that I'm unlikely to use the pen, so the Signature is sidelined by the Razer 60 Ultra sometimes, but I just can never decide. And the other thing that I just wanted to quickly touch on was the Motorola Edge 70 Fusion, which Moto PR have sent over for review. This has got a 7,000 milliamp hour battery in it, which is really good. Not as big as some of them that are coming along now, I know, but it's stonkingly good. It really is. I did some testing with it. Now, before you react, I know this is not a real world test, but it's an interesting one all the same. I put a SIM card in it. I connected it to Wi-Fi. I got all of the apps on it, running in the background, and it was just sat on a desk. So no always on display, nothing on, just sat it on the desk for nearly 2 weeks. this is a real not real world situation, but I did the test anyway. Anyway, the result of this was that it was 100% on day one, and it got down to 4% on day 12. So if you were not doing an awful lot with it, and it was sat on standby but turned on, 12 days, that, nearly 2 weeks with this battery. Now, I know that that's not the real world. But even if you got half of that, you know, or a third of it even, you know, in real world use, it's going to be, you know, even if it was 3 days, and other people that have reviewed the phone have said that they are certainly relying on it for 3 days between charges. And so I was just interested in the that whole procedure. The only trouble is that apart from the battery, it's just not really an exciting phone. There's no always on display, there's no Qi charging, which are two things I care about. I know everyone else probably doesn't, but there are other options out there from Motorola, I think, that I would just rather have. The main one that comes to mind really is the Edge 60 Neo, and for the same price, or pretty much the same price, you can get an Edge 60 Neo which has those things on it, and I think generally is probably a better all-round device. However, if you want a 6.7 inch screen, then it's not, because the Edge 60 Neo is smaller. So that's what I've been doing so far. It's been sat on my desk for 2 weeks.
It's quite interesting that it's only about averaging 7% each day only.
Yeah,
it's really good. I think Motorola, they need to consolidate their portfolio a little bit. They almost do too many devices that are too similar, yes. Don't they?
Yes, they do. You're absolutely right. Incidentally, I did another test with the always. I installed an always on display app, my favourite one, and of course, different always on display apps will have different hits on battery, but this is the one I normally use, my favourite one, and it lasted about 2 days. With the always on display on. The always on display was on a 50% brightness, and it was very minimal, just the clock and just the weather and just the battery percentage. And I just left that on the side. And at the end of day one, the battery was on 50%, and on the end of day two, it was depleted. You know, I mean, your mileage may vary with always on displays if you want to do that, and you might be able to find one that is more battery efficient than that one.
This is your favourite one, though, Ted, isn't it? You mentioned this one before, haven't you? That's a good app wrap for this podcast today.
yeah, the always on display, which now you've caught me out. I can't remember the name of it. It's called Always on Display. It's by this developer called AO AOD Link. Let me just quickly find it. AOD Link in the Google Play Store.
They've got to be dedicated to always on display to name themselves AOD.
Maybe that's all they do.
Yeah.
AOD Link. Here we go. AOD Link. Here it is. Yeah, it's called Display X Path. And it's got a million and one different functions, different permutations. As I say, I set it up to be really, really basic, but you can go completely bonkers with this. It's got a million and one different ways you can use it, what notifications you want it to do. It's got weather stuff built in. It's got all sorts of stuff that you just don't need, but it's there if you want to do it. And you can move the elements of the screen completely wherever you want them on the screen. It's got these sliders where you nudge it from the edge and move it up a bit, move it down a bit, and you can just completely customize it totally how you want it to, and it works. It works really well, but maybe because it's so complex and so well featured, it does hit the battery a bit more than other simple ones might do.
But with a 7,000 milliamp hour battery, you're laughing anyway, aren't you?
I was going to say, even if you only do get 2 days out of it, that's 1 day more than the average phone.
Yeah, exactly. Did you test this with the 8 Lite when you had that? I'm sure you probably did, because you hated the always on display on that, which is non-existent.
That had a 7,500 milliamp hour battery, didn't it?
Yeah, so that could probably handle it. I'll have to, when I get that device back, put this app on there and see how it does.
Yeah, give me a shout, and I'll tell you how to set it up exactly the same as I did, and then the playing field will be level, so to speak.
That's a future project then, yeah.
Okay, and the last thing is my Moto watch, which they sent me, which is the same as yours. It's the round one. It's the silver, horrible silver colour with the hideous macho Del Boy bling going on, which I know you like. I think I would have given it much more time if it was black, and I might even try and flog it and get the black one. But I just don't like it. And I didn't need to have the silver strap. I could have happily had the ordinary strap, because the straps are horrible anyway. And the if you just buy the black one, it's 89 quid. If you buy this whole bundle they sent to me, it's 130. So the bottom one would have been right for me. It is more capable than the Moto Watch Fit. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are more features, but there are some things I don't like about it too. One being it being round. I don't think that works so well as oblong. But also, you get on the round one, you get better readouts, better notification data. But on the oblong one, you get a better always on display on it. It's brighter, and the choices of always on displays are much more. None of the always on displays on the round one I wanted to use. They're just all rubbish. And as soon as you go anywhere outside of into daylight, even muted daylight, you can't see it. It's so badly done. Whereas with the watch fit, you can still see it. So there are pros and cons, but mostly for me, the round one has got the cons.
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is it only 89 quid or even 130 quid. And what you're getting for your money is fantastic. My time with it, as much as I think it's nice, and I haven't got much notifications coming through because I haven't set it up to, which I kind of like. But I still find I'm wanting, because I want the NFC and I want a few other bits and bobs. And I agree with you. It could be a bit brighter when you're outside. When you actually go on the actual main screen, that performs quite well.
But
the always on display doesn't really. It's pretty non-existent, isn't it? At times,
which is a shame. But anyway,
and it's a chunky boy as well.
It is. That's the other thing, is that it feels big on my wrist compared to and the other watches I've got, well, apart from the Samsung Galaxy Watch Ultra, that is big. I'll grant you. But I'll give it more time this round Moto watch. I just wish it was black. I want to do something about that. I want to get some paint. Get some Hammerite paint.
Well, sell that one and then get yourself the black one.
Yeah, I think I might have to do that.
Any takers? Anyone?
But I want to make sure first that I actually like it anyway.
Before you
regardless.
Purchase.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, there you go. So that's me done. We'll save some modding stuff for next week, I think, because I think Steve will be interested in that.
Yes, yeah.
And we'll run through on that one. So unless you've got anything else, we'll quickly do the photo of the week and then skedaddle. And classifieds.
Yeah, I've waffled on enough about pubs and text, so let's go on to the MeWe stuff.
So, photo of the month. I will cover, I know I said I wouldn't do photo of the month in this show because it now belongs to PSC Photography Podcast, but PSC Photography Podcast is taking a month off now and it's not back till August, so I will cover it here. And the winner of the May photo of the month is Chris Clayton with his shot Sheep Tree. which he took on an Apple iPhone 13 mini. Unfortunately, as you can see there in our recording notes, Joe, MeWe has really buggered the image on this.
Yeah,
it's so
about to say.
Horrible. Yeah, but I don't know what we can do. Maybe we can have a new rule in the group. So everyone has to put a link to somewhere decent so we can see the photo in all its glory. Anyway. There's a tree in the middle of the frame. There's a sheep to one side looking at the tree. There's a layer of grassy hills and there's a blue sky and it's all layered nicely. And it's a lovely shot. So I can see why it's won. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's a desktop wallpaper, that one is.
Yeah.
Very Windows-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I do like it. I prefer his one from his camera, though, which... Again, if you're interested in the PSC Photography Podcast, check it out.
With the sheep each side.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
But this is
the sheep each side of a tree. Actually, it might be that same tree, is it?
It probably is.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No, it's not because it's a bigger round tree.
Oh, yeah, it's a different shape, isn't it?
Yeah, the other one.
Actually, this is more sheep-shaped, actually, this one, which makes the name more apt.
Yes. Anyway, well done to Chris. We'll be back with another competition for June, so watch out for that one when it comes round. Did you pick a picture?
Yes, I was a good boy. I picked it in advance this time. It's taken on a Motorola signature. It's unedited, and it's Lake Como by David Hewitt. Actually, David Hewitt's put quite a few nice Como ones in there. There was a black and white one I quite liked, but I went with this one because I do seem to like these ones with the reflections in water in the foreground. And you've got a mountainscape in the background. I love the way he's got the sun setting lined up with whatever's on the end of that jetty.
Yes.
I like the way he's lined that up nicely. It's quite smart, and then the sun ray in a nice direct line and from it as well. It's rather neat. It's a lovely picture. That could be a good canvas, that one, I think.
Yeah, very nice indeed. And you even get the shadow of that tall thing, whatever it is, in the line of the line of the sun, don't you?
Yeah, no idea what that is, but
It looks like a boy. But I don't know.
It's a strange thing.
Yeah.
I like that there's a little boat that mirrors it, just a little bit further to the left of it as well. It's also another triangle. That's quite a neat little thing as well.
Yeah. Very nice, yeah. So, yeah, nice one, which was David Hewitt's on a Motorola signature. And my pick was... one by Owen Little, which he took on a OnePlus 13 South Beach at Tenby, which he used master mode for and then cropped to X-Pan in the Photos app and applied a vintage filter. I was saying to him in the group, though, it's a really nice picture of what appears to be a little girl sat on a log looking out to the sea across the water. And I was saying to him in the group that I wanted to crop it. I wanted to take away the right-hand side. And I've shown you in the recording notes here what I mean. And he did kind of acknowledge that, you know, either work sort of thing. But that was my preferred crop, I think. But yeah, it's a really nice kind of pensive looking out across the water, and I thought the image just looked really nice and worked well with the land across the other side.
Yeah, I like it. I do like it. I feel like the mountain scape on the right is almost like an anchor though. So I can see why they've left it, but I can also I like the crop as well. The only thing I'd say is I'd try and see the girl, I try and get a more central in, see in between where you got that gap.
Oh, yeah.
Being super picky. Right. Okay. But I do like this shot. I love that when there's a person in there, because it wouldn't be nowhere near as good without the person in there deep in thought, looking out into sea. But yeah, it's lovely. I like the fact that he's done the X-Band with it. That was a great move, I think. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for that.
Yeah. In fact, what I've cropped it with takes away that X-Band thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
So I should keep my gob shut, really.
No, I mean, I can see your reasonings as well.
Yeah.
Because for some, that thing on the right is a bit of an eyesore. I can see it as an anchor because it's a similar size to the log that she's sitting on.
Yeah, yeah. I can, as I say, I can see both.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
But if it was mine, I think I would just do it a bit differently. But, you know, it's not, so fine. anyway, yeah, keep the photos coming, everyone. It's great stuff. Classifieds group, which is a private members group only. If you want to get in on that, you'll have to email me and we'll talk about you getting on board, because we just don't let anyone in, and we try to protect the members to some degree in classifieds, which is not always possible. We don't guarantee anything, but we do try to get some safety measure of some description. Phil Dawson's Oppo Find N5 is my pick. This is the global version. It is 650 quid, and it's the 512 gigabyte, 16 gigabyte version. And even though he's put 650, he is open to sensible offers, says Phil. So that looks nice. I know it's not the N6, but even so, I think that these devices were given plenty of future updates, so there won't be any problem with that, and it's the global version, so that should work really nicely. So that was my pick.
Yeah, note the word sensible offers.
Yeah, no 50p.
No. I've gone with, I can't believe this hasn't sold already, because I think you've mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again anyway, because it's a lovely tablet, the S9 Ultra tablet, which is Charlie Winston's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's now reduced it to 425. It's a lovely tablet. I've got the S8 Ultra, and I don't use it much for its great pen and the features of apps and stuff. I use it as a portable TV in the house. Both me and my missus do, watching stuff in the kitchen, escaping the little one. Sometimes we go downstairs and watch something at the dining room table just to get away. It's perfect for that. So if you like streaming content on a big tablet for 425, this is a really good one. But you have got the tablet functionality with it as well, and the pen.
Very good. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Go and talk to Charlie. So that's about it, I think. We've gone longer than I thought we were going to with a two-man show.
Yeah, we've done well, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. And you're now heading off to do another pod. I did Tech Addicts this morning, and you're doing Nomad Tech Project this evening. And
I am, yeah.
So PSC is sandwiched by other podcasts.
We should say happy Father's Day for all the fathers out there, and the fathers that are no longer with us as well, of course. I almost forgot.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's a lot of American rubbish, I say. I said to my dad about Father's Day, and that's always been his response to it. He said it was cooked up by the Americans, and he's got no time for it at all, and doesn't want to know. It should be Mother's Day only. He says mothers are the ones that are important.
I don't know. I mean, it's become a tradition that they take me to Chicken George now, so I'm very much for it.
You greedy get. Yes.
It's true. I hold my hands
phoneshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle, as we always say. You can buy me a copy at paypal.me/TedSalmon, and you can buy Joe a copy at paypal.me/Hickey85. If you get lost, you can find whatever you need to find at PodHubUK or TedSalmon.com. Lots of audio podcasts and lots of MeWe groups. I hope the heat doesn't get you like I know it's going to get to me this week, wherever you are, particularly in the south half of the UK. But even more so if you're listening from Paris, blimey. I think it's over 40 there already, isn't it?
Oh, God.
So, anyway, have a good, keep safe, everyone, and drink lots of water, and you'll make it through. Okay, we'll catch you next week. Show 900 with Steve Litchfield, and we'll have a bit of a party, I guess, won't we?
Yeah, 900's huge. Definitely a party.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. Catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.